Well, I'm excited about today's message. Today we're going to wrap up the series, A Believer's Authority, by reviewing what we have learned and then illustrating how to walk it out in real time. And by the way, if you've missed any part of this five-part series, you can go on our website. I want to encourage you, if you've missed any of the series, to go on and listen to them. As God moves this church, He moves us as a whole, and His desire is that we walk in unity. And if you've fallen behind, then you're not on the same page with the rest of us. So I want to encourage you to get caught up as soon as you can. So let's just jump right into it, shall we? We're going to have some fun towards the end of this message. I'm looking forward to that. So again, what is authority? You can just read along with me. It's the power to control or demand obedience from others. Someone with official responsibility for a particular area of activity, official permission or the legal right to do something, and the power to enforce the rules. When I look at this, I look at the assignment of a Christian. This is our assignment right here. This is what we are to be out exercising authority in the name of Jesus Christ. He gives us the power to enforce the rules. Now, let's talk about God's rules and His law for just a second. Anything that God says is true. We've established that. He makes the rules. His truths are laws. His promises are laws because they never change. He has spoken and established laws that govern the natural and the spiritual order of things. He's established them by His word. These are laws that all creation must submit to, things seen and things unseen, including devils and angels. So now we're going to review some of the key scriptures that refer to the believer's authority. And I'm going to be moving kind of fast through this message. It has the potential to be a little long, but I don't want to hurry past them so much that we miss the emphasis of them. So in Mark chapter 16, verses 14 through 18, if you remember, most of us are familiar with the Great Commission in Matthew. But this is also the Great Commission written through the lens, Mark's lens. Mark chapter 16, verses 14 through 18. So this is after Christ had risen from the dead. Later He appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and He rebuked their unbelief and their hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen Him after He had risen. And He said to them, now here's the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. Now here's where the transference of authority is. In my name, they will cast out demons, and they will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. In Matthew's versions, we were told to go out and make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. So when we put Matthew and Mark together, we get quite a commission, a wonderful commission. But if you'll see in here, there is the transference of authority from Jesus to His disciples. And if you are a disciple of Christ, this is for you. Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 2. Here's another authority verse. When Jesus had called the 12 together, He gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. What did He give them? Power and authority. And He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. We are disciples of Christ. That is for us as well. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We will be His what? Witnesses. We will be testifying of Him. And because we will be testifying of Him, He gives us power to legitimize His authority in the world. And as we are witnesses of Him. John 14, verses 12 through 14. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I've been doing, and they will do even greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. So he's given them power to ask anything in Jesus' name, and he will do it. There's authority in there. He has given us the authority to approach him and ask anything in his name. So we have authority to go directly to the King, directly to God the Father, through Jesus Christ. Now, Matthew 10, verse 7. This is to his disciples, and this would also include you and I. Verse 7. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then in verse 8, he's commanding us to demonstrate it. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Freely you have received from Christ, freely give. What are we giving? We're giving his power. We are walking in demonstration of his authority that he has given us. And we are to demonstrate that it as evidence that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I just have a couple more here, but there are many more. These are just some that I picked out. Luke 10, verse 19. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. He's not talking about literal serpents and scorpions. He's talking about demons. And in the context of the passage, that can be seen. We just don't have time to go into it today. But he has given us authority to tread on demons. And actually, in the scorpions, he's talking about torments, the things that come with demons, the things that they do. We have over all that, we have power over all the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Not some of the enemy, not a few of the enemy, all the enemy. And then Ephesians 2:6. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. So Christ sat down at the right hand of the Father and all authority was given to him. The whole world was put under his feet and then we are seated with him, designating his authority, his shared authority with us. So if you were to argue that, well, I don't see how we have authority, the authority like Christ had, I would point to these verses and say we need to get these things memorized, because these actually do say that we have authority. We have more authority than we generally even believe. You see, we are Christ's witnesses, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, ambassadors of Jesus Christ and God the Father. We are his army of power-wielding super soldiers, commissioned to conquer the forces of hell, to tear down enemy strongholds and set the captives free in the name of Jesus and as a testimony to Jesus Christ that the kingdom of God is at hand. And we need to get these verses, like the ones I just mentioned here, and others, we need to get them memorized and then speak them to ourselves. Like it's not enough just to memorize them, we need to begin speaking them so that we hear them until our subconscious gets the message down deep inside and we believe it. It's important that we believe that we have authority. The next week, that was our first week. The next week we spoke about the power of our words. Recall that we are made in the image of God. When God spoke, he brought things into being. We too, being made in his image, have creative power in our words to be used either for good or evil. We may not take them seriously, but our subconscious is listening. That's the inner man, who Paul calls the inner man. Our subconscious is listening, and so is the devil, and so is God. Our words can align us with God's truth or Satan's lies. Further, if we speak things enough, we will begin to believe it. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. In Mark 11, 23 through 24, whosoever shall say to this mountain, this is Jesus talking, whosoever shall say to this mountain, one second here, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith, right, their words, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. So notice something here, what Jesus says at the beginning of this. Thank you, Jay. Got it. Shall say to this mountain. He's telling us we got to speak to the mountain. What is our mountain? What is your mountain as you sit here this morning? Speak to it. Cancer, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Fear, be gone. Worry, be gone. Devil, be gone. Sore throat, be gone. Back pain, be gone. What is your mountain this morning? Jesus tells us to speak to our mountain. Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, and he shall have whatsoever he saith. That's the universal principle. And right under that, when it says therefore, that's when he puts the universal principle into context. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer. Some people get nervous about claiming such power as our own. Speak to a mountain, I can't do that. God can speak to a mountain, he created them, but me speak to a mountain? Me speak to a giant? Me speak to my problem? But remember that Jesus gave authority to us, and he expects us to use it for his glory. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 3, if you would. We briefly read this, I believe a couple weeks ago. Check one, we're good. Thank you, Jay. Jay, awesome. Yes. Amen. Yes, he is awesome. He's only awesome because God is more awesome. All right. So Acts chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. I'll read the statement I just made again. Some people get nervous about claiming such power as their own, claiming God's power. They are not God. I'm not saying that we are gods. I'm saying that Jesus has shared his power with us. And he expects us to use it for his glory. So we're going to be moving through Acts here in just a couple weeks. We're going to start. But let me just kind of set the context. So the Holy Spirit has come, Pentecost has happened, and now the church is moving out of its doors and is beginning to fulfill the Great Commission, spreading the gospel around the world. And we come to a story where Peter and John are going into the temple. Remember, authority has already been conferred upon them. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, now notice that Peter didn't have to go into a time of prayer. He didn't have to start fasting. He didn't have to call the other disciples, hey man, will you pray for me? We got this situation going on. He responds immediately to the situation. So in fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. And by the way, this wasn't a suggestion. It was spoken authoritatively. So he gave them his attention, that is the beggar, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. Who has it? Peter. It's what he has. Jesus had given him authority and he had given him power. But what I do have, I give you. It's his. It's his to use. Christ has shared it with him. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Peter spoke to the problem. The guy couldn't walk. So he said, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. It was an act of faith, following belief. See, Peter and John understood their authority. And they acted in that authority that had been given them. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Our words matter. Our belief matters. Knowing that we have authority. Knowing that Christ has shared his authority with us. And then we speak that authority to our mountains. Following that topic, we took a couple weeks to speak about conditional authority. There are Bible verses that have conditions attached to them, which we must meet for them to be fulfilled as God promises. For example, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, do we have that? If my people, notice the if there, it tells us there's a conditional, it's a conditional clause. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. So we're called to humble ourselves, pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. There's a condition attached to God's promise. Another one is Psalm 91, one of my favorite passages of the entire Bible. Look at that. Can you see the condition here? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What is the promise? That we will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He will protect us. He will provide for us as it goes along. We see how the Lord provides. But what's the condition? We need to dwell in the secret place of the Most High with God. That's the condition. We need to be under his coverage, and the rest of those promises are ours to stand on and claim and decree. In addition to God's conditional promises, there are also conditions connected to successfully using our spiritual authority in real time and in real situations. Three such conditions are forgiving others, walking in righteousness, and having belief leading to faith. Remember that we can have belief, but not faith. However, faith requires belief, because faith is belief in action. If you remember, I shared the story of the parachute. You can be up in a plane, and you have a parachute. You're very familiar with a parachute. You've seen lots of people use it. You know what a parachute does. You strap it on, you jump out of the plane, and it brings you to earth safely. That is belief. Yeah, I believe that parachute, and I believe that parachute does what it's supposed to do. Faith is strapping that parachute on and jumping out the plane. You got belief? Belief in action. Belief becomes faith, and faith is belief in action. So you have belief? Show it to me. It's important. So failing to forgive, living unrighteously, and having unbelief can limit the effectiveness of our power and God's power flowing through us. And I gave you Bible verses to prove all those things. So now we come to, and we spent two Sundays on that, talking about belief. One of those Sundays was just talking about belief only. So when we come to the final point of this message, putting it all together. This is the walkout. And I have 4 points of battle that I have seen effective in my own life. And I find them in Scripture. Who is familiar with the terms, I believe it was in the 80s, WWJD? What would Jesus do? A lot of people here. Yeah, it came out of the Baptist church. And they made little braces about it. And for a season, like, it was everywhere. What would Jesus do? It was a little reminder, like, if I'm in that moment, whether to do what I want to do or do what Jesus wants to do, I need to do what Jesus would do in that moment. It was really effective. I mean, we still remember it. How long has it been? 40 years? It's amazing. So I've got some acronyms that are close to this just to kind of help help memorize the 4 points, but it's not clever like what would Jesus do. They're words. So when we are in a battle with the devil or sickness or any demonic force or situation or stronghold, we are to use our belief and faith to stand our ground and fight, as Peter and John did. We are to use God's word as our sword and instrument of battle, and Jesus' name as our authorization. And then we are to declare victory and thank the Father. So the first one is believe. So this is BWJD. I brought up what would Jesus do because those are acronyms. We're like WWJD. I can remember that. All you got to do is change one word. That's the first one. BWJD, and you know you're on the right track to getting this. So the first is believe. We have to believe in our God-given authority. We have to stand up in faith and put belief into action. We just read Peter and John at the temple that they did. No prayer meetings. No, let me come back. It was right then and right there that they were confronted with a situation. And they demonstrated the Lord's authority and his power. So believe. We have to believe that we have the authority the Bible says we do. The second is the word, the W. We need to recall what scripture is needed in whatever situation and then speak to it. Flip over in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4, if you would. Beginning in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness and to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you. And in their hands they shall bear you up." By the way, that comes out of Psalm 91. We just read the first part of that. "Lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." And then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. So what do we see Jesus doing in this confrontation with the enemy? Using the word of God. The word of God has power. We have got to know the word of God. And if you're dealing with a particular habit or a situation or a stronghold in your life, I guarantee the Bible will speak to it. So you memorize that verse, whatever that verse is. And then when you have that crisis where it is confronting you to act in that way again, you speak that verse. You speak the word of God. The word of God has power. So we've got to know the word of God, and especially with things that we deal with, we have to know those verses that pertain specifically to what we're dealing with. And then, of course, you go from there, just memorize the word of God. There will be instances that come up when the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will put you in a situation where he's expecting you to use it. The third point is Jesus' name. This is where we establish dominion in the moment. We establish dominion. We establish a hierarchy. Oh, yeah? Well, my dad can beat up your dad. You know, it's like one of those things where Jesus is on the top and everybody else is on the bottom. And we need to establish that authority and declare that dominion. If you'll look over in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. This is the power in Jesus' name. I was in a situation recently where it was just coming off the rails. And somebody stood up and said, "In the name, in Jesus' name, command this to stop. And it just silenced the room, man. Devils tremble. They hate the name of Jesus. They hate it. Jesus' name has authority. So here's what it says. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is why we say in Jesus' name. We declare his authority. We declare his dominion in that situation. And then we give thanks to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:57. I won't ask you to turn there, but look at this verse. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no doubt that we're going to win that battle. So we declare victory. Yeah, we declare victory. We shout it. Victory is ours, and we thank the Lord. We thank him in advance for what he's already begun to do. So, as I mentioned, we're going to have a little fun, maybe. We'll see how it goes. I'm going to give you some examples and show you practically how to use these 4 points. This is how I use them in my name almost daily. So you're sleeping one night, and fear comes on you. Who's ever had that happen? Yeah. Perhaps it's a tangible darkness, but something evil has crept into your room. What do you do? Start turning on all the lights? You know, just turn them all on? No. You sense that it's fear. It's very real, and you're scared. All right, let's use these 4 points. The first is to believe. We remember our authority, right? We believe that we have authority. I have authority to confront this problem right now. Jesus says I do. So we don't need to speak it, but if it helps, I have authority. But we do need to believe it. And the second is, okay, what does God's word say? Hopefully we've memorized, if we have an issue with fear, we've memorized this verse. Or sometimes you just need to get out your Bible and just start, okay, what do they say about fear in church? And just look it up. But you speak the word. You say it. Here's a few examples. 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in me than is in the world. 1 John 4:18. Perfect love casts out fear. Well, God loves me perfectly. Therefore, fear has to leave. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give unto you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. This is truth. What do we know about truth? That it's truth is God's law. It's his promises. He promises it right here. Thus, it is his law, and we can bank on it. So we need to use his law. We need to use his law against lawbreakers. So the third point is, now I've got my verses. I know that I have the authority to do battle. So I establish dominion in Jesus' name. And here's how I do it. Spirit of fear, you can't hurt or touch me according to God's law. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave me alone. Be gone. Turn the light back off. It's that simple. We're in a battle. We're in a war. We have everything on our side. The enemy's got nothing on his side but lies and deception. And the way we defeat that is with truth. And then we declare victory. Thank you, Jesus. We are victorious in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen indeed. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you for sending your angels down to protect me. In fact, why don't you go ahead and encamp them around me while I go back to sleep? Thank you very much. Okay, second example. You get some news that triggers an old memory producing anxiety. You've got no more fingernails left. And you start to have a panic attack. What do you do? Well, the first step, we remember our authority. I have been given the authority to fight this battle. The Word. What does God's Word say about anxiety? We need to speak it. Well, here's a verse that I've shared the story when I had a panic attack one night after purchasing a new car. I did, man. I went from zero payments, owing $0 on a paid off jalopy, to now a brand new car with huge payments. And of course, the devil came at me with panic attacks. How are you ever going to pay this? And here's the word. I've shared this with you before, but here's the word I use. Philippians 4:6-7. Be anxious for nothing. And I quoted this out loud. I began to quote it. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I just began to speak this over and over again. And after about 30 minutes, it left. It came back the next night and tried again. And this time I just rattled off in bed. I didn't even get out of bed this time. The night prior I did. This time I just laid there, spoke it, it left, and it never came back. It's the Word of God. Another couple verses that might speak to a panic attack or anxiety is Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. That's an easy one to memorize. Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Those are promises, those are laws, and they are ours to use as we speak the Word of God. So we come to the third point in this. The panic attack is starting to set in, but you know you have authority. You've spoken the Word of God, and now you establish dominion. Jesus' name. Anxiety or panic, we're speaking to our mountain, right? In the name of Jesus, I take authority over you. I am stayed in perfect peace because my mind is fixed on God. You have no power over me. I cast you out. Be gone. Turn out the light. It's a power encounter, and we have the power. And then we declare victory. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Greater is he that is in me than is in the world. We are more than conquerors. We are overcomers. Okay. Going to have a little fun here. If we can, we'll see how it goes. You wake up with a sore throat. The devil immediately says, you're going to get sick. What do you do? What's the first thing? Pray. Okay. What's the first thing according to these four points? Belief, right? We have to believe that we have what? Authority. Yes, we believe. What's the second thing? Scripture. Okay. What word speaks to victory over infirmity and sickness? Can anybody think of one? Say it again, Shirley. Yes, that's a great one. I use that one all the time. By his stripes, we are healed. That's truth. It's a promise. It's God's law. Then what's the third thing we do? We establish dominion, right? We take authority over sickness. So we're going to speak to our mountain, quoting that verse. Who wants to give it a shot? What would that sound like? This is a safe place. Go with Suzanne.
In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Good job, Suzanne. Now, I want you to know that it's not important that you need to get every word right. Oh, no, I missed a word here. You know, I said my stripes instead of his stripes, you know. Like, the devil understands that you are using God's authority in that situation. He understands it. So that was excellent. Yeah, we speak to that mountain. And there's nothing wrong with asking God for help, right? Maybe that's the first thing. Lord, would you please help me? Kind of like, hold my hand through this. You know, help me. Send me an angel. Yeah, nothing wrong with that at all. But now we stand and fight with the sword of God. All right, got another one for you. Your boss says that there's going to be layoffs coming. And the voice inside your head immediately says, it's going to be you. So how will you and your family survive? You better be scared. All right, what's the first step? Believe. We have authority to challenge that thought. What's the second thing we do? Scripture. So give me some scripture that would be applicable to that situation. God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. It's an excellent one. No need to fear in this situation. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, so devil, shut up. God's going to provide for my family. God takes care of birds, the sparrows. He's going to take care of me. Give me another verse that might speak to that. Yes. Yes. So that could be a verse according to his riches and glory. And great verses. All those verses are great. And now we declare dominion over, what are we battling here? Fear, right? It's a common tactic of the enemy. You need to be scared. No. So anybody brave enough wants to stand up and show me what this would look like as we do battle? Come on, it's a safe place. It's a safe place. John Axel? Yeah, what's up, dude? All right. All right. Marilyn, go ahead.
Well, I kind of woke up with a sore the next day. I was fine.
Good for you. Good for you. You took truth. Those are truths found in this scripture. And you stood in the authority of Jesus' name. Absolutely. So let's speak specifically to this. This fear, layoffs are coming, it's going to be me. Anybody? Okay. I'll jump in there on this one. I will not receive, so it's coming out, oh no, I'm going to lose my job, I'm not going to be able to feed my family. Those are some of the thoughts I had during that panic attack back then, by the way. All right. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over fear, and I take authority over that lie. The devil says I'm not going to be able to feed my family. That's a lie. Because the Lord provides for all my needs according to his riches and mercy. The Lord provides for me. You spirit of fear, get out of here. In the name of Jesus, I declare dominion over you. And you can pack up your lie and leave. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for your victory in this. Amen. Amen. Got just a couple more. You guys doing all right? All right, I'm getting hungry too. All right, just hang in there with me. E, the doctor says that you've got something permanent, terminal. What do you do? We talked about, we tend to jump to the worst possible scenario, right? We immediately begin planning our funeral and all the people that's going to be at our funeral and what somebody's going to be saying. We can see it all playing out in our mind. That's the wrong thing to do. So what do we do? And this happens all the time. I had a doctor speak a curse over me. I think I shared that with you like a month or so ago. I'm like, that's not true. Oh, he said my name was cursed. He goes, yeah, I got a cursed name too. I think his name is like Leslie or something. And I was like, he goes, we're both cursed. I'm like, man, I'm not cursed. I'm blessed. I know you might be cursed. You don't know Jesus, but I'm blessed. So the doctors they're great about it. They speak something terminal over you or permanent. You're always going to have this. What's the first step? Believe. We have authority. We have authority to fight this. We don't need to receive this word. What is the word that we would use there? Come on, scholars. I'm not going to bail you out of this one. What are you going to do? What's the core issue here? Well, we've been cursed, right? He's speaking a curse. He's playing God. He says this is permanent or this is going to happen. He doesn't know that. Who knows the truth? God. God knows the truth. So we're going to use some truth against that. Anybody give me a verse? Help me out. How about that one? How about that? God knows the number of my days. That's a Bible verse. It's the word of God. Devil, you don't know the number of my days. You don't know this is going to happen. You are not omniscient. In fact, you're so foolish to think that I'm not going to stand on my authority. This is ridiculous that we're even here right now. But I'm going to stand on the authority of God's word. God has numbered my days. God alone knows when things are going to happen. You don't. Anybody want to give a try on what this would look like as we declare dominion in Jesus' name? In the name of Jesus, I take dominion over fear. It's another fear issue. I take dominion over the idolatry, because I'm looking to the doctor to be my God. That's what Satan wants us to idolize, the doctor. He wants us to exalt his word above God's word. And when we do that, that is idolatry. So there's an idolatry situation here. There's fear. There's, oh no, I'm going to die. Devil knows when I'm going to die or not. So here's the way to do it. Father, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over every spirit of idolatry. I take authority over every curse. I take authority over fear. The devil does not know my future. God alone knows my future. God alone will order my steps. So in the name of Jesus, I cast you out. Get away from me. Get out of my mind in the name of Jesus. Got to leave. But remember, it's important to use scripture in there. And then we thank God. Father, thank you. I thank you that my life is in your hands. I thank you that you have all authority, that you are omniscient, you are all-knowing, that you are omnipotent, you are all-powerful. All right, one more. For no apparent reason, you're feeling down, emotionally oppressed, discouraged, or in dread, what do you do? What do you do? What's the first thing? Believe, right? We have authority to do battle here. What's the second thing? Word. What are some scriptures that would speak to being oppressed, discouraged, or in dread? That's a great one. That's a great word. You might think of another one. Okay, that's a good one too. Another one? You guys are getting good at this. I can feel. Okay, I love that one. Yeah, Tyler. Oh, that's a good one. This speaks directly. That's like the counterpunch to these things. Yep. A verse I love is that he has given me a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. So heaviness is a spirit, and he's given us a garment of praise that is worship, helps drive out the spirit of heaviness. So any one of those verses can be used, or all of them, or other ones. And now we enter to we take dominion, right? We use Jesus' name as we take dominion in that situation. Who would like to give it a shot? Tyler, you want to give it a shot? Yeah, good job. Very good job. Our newest member, everybody. Anybody else before we close here? It's kind of fun. All right. I think you've kind of got it. Hey, I am, by the way, I'm going to make this sermon available on our website, so you can go and you can download all these to a PDF file, and you'll have them to look at and put with your notes. So I'm going to conclude today. To practice using authority. You may not move mountains at first, but keep going. You may not put fear in devils at first, but keep going. You may not see your healing spring forth, but keep going. The voices of doubt may still be shouting loud in your ear. Ignore them. And lean on what God says is true. Get His word and promises planted deep inside your minds and hearts. Step out in faith under the umbrella of belief. Take God at His word and lean on the rock that is Jesus Christ. Even if things don't turn out like we are wanting in any given situation, praise God in all things. We win, man. We win. We've read the end of the book. It's a win-win for us. We just need to step out there and be bold. Be super soldiers for Jesus Christ. Amen? All right. Anybody more hungry than me? I doubt that. All right. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your promises. We thank You for Your law. We thank You for Your authority and Your power at work in our life. We thank You for the Holy Spirit. God, You have not just opened the door and kicked us out and says, do Your best. You have given us Your Holy Spirit to go with us. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your mercy. Lord, I want to pray that Your word would set easily on everyone's heart that is listening to this message today, whether in the room or by internet, and that by Your grace we will more easily memorize Your word, and that it will sink deep into our core, the core of who we are, and that it will spring forth plants of righteousness, Lord, trees of righteousness, Lord. We pray that You would speak to those seeds that have been planted today. We pray that You would help our belief and that You would help our faith. And Father, I pray that You would protect us in our coming and going, and that You would continue to provide for us in the thousands of ways that You do. We love You, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. Have a great day, and we'll see you next week.